What a powerful introduction, and of course more on why specifically I have included that in today's episode's introduction in just a moment. But first of all, for those of you who maybe aren't quite in the loop, a little bit of backstory. I've just returned from a 2-month long trip through the Northern Territory, and today's guest of course is someone who spent 50 of the 55 days total with me on the trip. And the trip was, of course, part of a charity walk event for epilepsy awareness, raising money for epilepsy awareness. Now, Christian and I were both major sponsors of the event. We also did some coaching work with the charity walker and also were support crew drivers for the event. So much of today's episode is, of course, talking about some of the different dynamics and some of the different lessons we took away from our 55-day long experience. And to give you some backstory as to specifically what the cause was, we were raising money for the Jamie Lee Ross Foundation. Now, if you guys are anything like me, up until about 2 months ago, I knew absolutely nothing about epilepsy besides a brief moment in time where I had driven past a man who had collapsed in a gutter on a main road and was having an epileptic fit. Now, panicking, I did pull over to help him, but at the same time that I pulled over and was in the process of getting out of my vehicle, an ambulance did pull up, and so I figured it best that I stay out of the way, and so I didn't go over and continued on my trip. So that was pretty much the only kind of direct experience I'd had with an epileptic fit, tongue twister. And so the last 2 months have been a steep learning curve for me in coming to understand the impacts of epilepsy. Sadly, in some cases, the fatal complications of epilepsy, and sadly in Jamie Lee Ross's case, she sadly passed away from SUDEP. Now, SUDEP, I'm going to read this off Google. SUDEP is the sudden unexpected death in epilepsy. It's a fatal complication of epilepsy and is defined as sudden and unexpected, non-traumatic and non-drowning death of a person with epilepsy without any anatomical or toxicological cause of death detected. So as I said, a very steep learning curve for me. Now, the backstory behind the didgeridoo in the intro. Throughout our travels through the Northern Territory, we were honoured to meet some pretty incredible people, one of which was Michael in a Northern Territory town called Larimer. Now, Michael had been taught by his dad how to make didgeridoos, and he had made this particular didgeridoo and had been unable to play it himself. So one particular night we were sitting around a campfire and were joined by a group of very wise Indigenous men who we had the honour of sitting and chatting with for quite some time. And, you know, they told us about their culture, and, you know, I really gained a lot from these guys. And so Michael asked them if they would be willing to perhaps try and play his homemade didgeridoo. And so Wesley, of course, is the man that you hear playing the didge. And Wesley was kind enough to not only play for us, but also to agree to let me record and post this for you guys to hear. So that's the backstory behind the didgeridoo at the very start there. Now, I also want to share more specifically to today's guest. Now, Christian Smith is the founder of Quality Relationships. Now, Quality Relationships is focused on high performance mindset and relationships. And one thing I just want to note, because being a mindset coach myself, I think that people tend to assume that we always get it right. And that absolutely is not the case. No matter the level of expertise, no matter the level of mastery, we are all human beings. And we don't all get it right 100% of the time. And I can certainly vouch for myself that particularly since returning from this trip and the trip itself, when you push the edges, your edges get pushed, right? So I know I found myself time and time again triggered and maybe not reacting in a way that I would ideally like to, but as with anything, there is value in everything. So I'm pumped to share this conversation with you guys. Christian is a whirlwind of knowledge and someone who I always love a good chat with. The other thing I want to draw your attention to is Christian talks very early on in today's episode about his financial struggles and yet his commitment to dive into personal development. And my experience was much the same. You know, when I first signed up to my first ever personal development course, I had just closed a business. I had, I think, about $150 to my name and absolutely no idea where my next dollar was going to come from. And I signed up to the very same course that Christian mentioned, which I believe the deposit for was about $150. So I actually approached the speaker and asked him if he would perhaps come up with some sort of a payment plan for me. And so he was willing to halve the deposit and then continue on from there with, I believe, fortnightly payments. So I dived in with $150 to my name, halved that to pay a portion of the deposit, and then committed to following through with fortnightly payments from there. Now, believe me when I say I was absolutely pooping my pants at this stage. But you know what? The incredible thing is, when you put in the work, demand creates supply. And somehow, don't ask me how, but somehow I made it happen. And Christian's story is much the same. So I think if there's anything you can take from this, it is that when you want something bad enough, you absolutely make it happen. And I think that is the first marker of a high achiever and a high performer. And yeah, just kick back, enjoy this one. Take notes, I urge you, because as I said, Christian is a whirlwind of knowledge and very smart dude. Without further ado, episode 73, I believe, of the Live Free Experience. Let's get the show on the road. Excellent. All right. Let's partay. So tell us a bit about yourself, Christian Smith.
Oh, geez. There goes the next 24 hours. Well, so I'm a mindset coach or specializing in relationships mm-hmm. and relationship dynamics. Before that, I was a painter and decorator. So by trade, just sort of discovered that it wasn't my thing. Went through like a bit of a downhill spiral, hit what I call rock bottom. I ended up sort of meandering floor contemplating whether I should live or die. And went, yeah, no, there's probably a better way I can go through life. Mm-hmm. And then sort of went across off, discovered personal development, got into that. At the time, or probably before that, I thought all personal development was a whole bunch of bullshit, that they were all scam artists, that they were just there to take your money. I was probably the biggest skeptic out there. Went along to this one day event because I just had a relationship breakup. And there's actually a pretty cool story about what led me to that event, which like I'll touch on. I'd had the relationship breakup. And at that point, like my life, like I said, had sort of fallen apart. And I'd quit my job, one of many. At that stage, I'd worked for probably almost every painting company in Adelaide and destroyed most of the bridges. So I'd quit my job. I had exactly, like I can never forget, exactly $703 to my name. I had $700 in my wallet because I just finished a cash job that I paid tax on and $3 in my bank account. So I couldn't even like withdraw the $3 from the ATM. I went along to this event called The Attraction. And for the first 2/3 of the day, I was sitting there just saying like, just tell me about the relationship stuff. Like, fuck everything else. I just want to know the relationship stuff. And the speaker, who's now a friend of mine, was talking about how relationships just a reflection of ourself, right? Mm-hmm. And halfway through that day, he talked about this bigger event that he ran called Thrive Time. And I fuck knows why, but I ended up signing up And I paid, I think at the time it was, could be wrong, but I think it was like $1,997. But you could do a payment plan, and the payment plans were like $47 a week with a $300 first installment. And I'm sitting there with $700 in my wallet, and I thought, I'll pay $350. So that gives me, that covers the deposit and the first like installment. I thought, and that probably buys me 2 weeks to sort my life out and get a job. Yeah, so I signed up. And then I got in the car and I'm driving home and I'm thinking, what the fuck have I just done? Mm-hmm. Like, I've just given half of my net savings to this complete stranger that I've known for 5 hours. But I got a free lunch, like the most expensive lunch I've ever paid for. yeah, and then from there... yeah, attended that course, and that's where I met you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then, yeah, life's been up from there. So, you know, like throughout life, we never go through life and avoid challenges.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I have learned is whenever you do try and avoid challenges, life, not normally, it does. It gives you challenges so you can learn to deal with them, so mm-hmm. you can learn, grow, evolve.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because life's just a whole bunch of levels and it's about leveling up. So, absolutely. Yeah, one of the biggest things I've learned is just about, you know, set yourself challenges. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, we can pick our challenges rather than life pick them for us.
Beautiful. Yeah, so for the listener's sake, I think we should probably fill them in on the fact that you and I have just lived in close proximity for, like, what was it, 55 days or something? Oh, it would have been a little less because you jumped in a weekend, but around 50 days, thereabouts. So, yeah, that brought up some unique challenges of its own. I know for me, I can't speak on your behalf, but I know for me it was like a whirlwind of growth and just like challenge after challenge after challenge, and in such a isolated situation to just have so much of your inner shit come up, it was full on. So, yeah, do we want to touch on that? Do we want to talk about the experience of the outback motorhome?
I've got no idea what you're talking about. I found it the most, I think it was full of shit, that it was the most blissful, peaceful experience that I've ever had in my entire life.
You just meditated your way through it, didn't
yeah
you?
Yeah, the only way you can live peace for 50 days is if you have an internal war going on. So nah, look, we have just spent for me, I worked it out, it was 48 days, but I round up just like the supermarkets do. So it's 50 days for me, and I think it was 55 for you.
That sounds about right.
But yeah, that was, yeah, 50, because I round up, 50 days that every day we were around each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the mobile jail cell.
Mm.
So it was a hell of an experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there were good moments, there were bad moments. I think everybody learned heaps.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, some of it was, oh, where do we start? Like,
this at the beginning. A
4-hour podcast. Yeah, look, like one of the biggest challenges I think for everyone in that motorhome was simply the communication.
Mm-hmm. That was, you know, huge, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, just... So, yeah, like, the communication was a huge part, you know, like... And you touched on this while we were out there pretty early on in the trip as well, and you were bang on that, you know, we're very three purposeful people in a motorhome. And one of the most important things that you brought up was, you know, when you've got three purposeful people, you need to link to mm-hmm. your values, and for the listeners that... Values are tangible things that run our life. That's the shortest description you can get.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, otherwise, you know, we've got three people driving towards three different outcomes. And from like the relationship side of things, or a team dynamic side of thing, and I've seen this happen in previous businesses and stuff that I've worked in as well, that whenever you have a team, and whenever you and I have both been, because we've worked together in other high performance teams, mm-hmm. that all high performance teams have a like a big outcome, like a big goal, which is mm-hmm. like a big goal is also a big challenge, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you've got to have the big goal or the big challenge that unites the team, because that brings everyone together and then you go and chase that goal.
Mm.
But everyone needs to see, and this is the point that you brought up, everyone needs to see how chasing that goal directly benefits them, because mm. every individual on the planet has different shit that's important to them. Some people, they love their family. Some people love their business. Some people love earning money. Some people love connecting with other people. And there's no right or wrong.
Mm.
But if you can't see how something serves what's most important to you, then you're relying on motivation, mm. which is like external pressure to not intrinsic inspiration.
Mm.
So, yeah, and that's something that very early on you mentioned
mm.
that, yeah, wasn't sort of brought up. Yeah, so one of the biggest challenges, yeah, was because we didn't have that big goal, so it started to create internal challenges mm. within the team, because yeah. the challenge has to rock up somewhere.
Mm.
So if the challenge isn't there to bring everyone together, the challenge starts within, which then drives everyone apart. Mm.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I think that's really powerful, because I think where, in my experience, where people go wrong in relationships is that they believe that a person has to be loyal to them. And the thing is that human beings, the only thing that we can trust that they will be loyal to is their own unique value system. So as you touched on, every human being has a unique set of values by which they run their life. So it's like a hierarchy or a set of priorities. And essentially they're loyal to that. They're loyal to having those values fulfilled. And so yeah. when we can see that something or someone lines up to our value system, we will remain loyal to them. Or remain loyal to those set of circumstances. But when something starts to challenge that, or we can't perceive how it aligns, then that's when we get disloyalty, or, you know, trust, quote unquote, starts to get broken. Yeah, because it ultimately comes down to values being challenged.
Yeah, yeah, spot on. You know, like as you were talking about that, I was thinking about like betrayal, that
mm-hmm.
anyone that's been in a relationship that feels like they've been betrayed, once you break it down, like the only thing you can do is look in the mirror and go, oh, fuck myself.
Mm.
I betrayed myself.
Mm.
Because what betrayal is, it's that's someone projecting their expectations onto someone else, expecting them to behave in a line with their values, mm-hmm. not in accordance with their own values. Yep. So then when they live outside the invisible guidelines that you've set them, then all of a sudden you feel like they've betrayed you. But really, you betrayed yourself by expecting them to live outside what's most important to them.
Absolutely.
When you learn that, you're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shit, I've actually got to take responsibility for mm-hmm. my life, which the majority of people probably don't like doing. Mm-hmm. But that's why people blame and justify and complain and whinge and moan and bitch and all the other stuff that I don't really have a whole heap of time for. But saying that, we all go through it, right? Because there's benefits to complaining and whinging and you know, and venting and stuff like that. Like, so it's not that it's, you know, good or bad, but the most successful people I've met throughout my life are the people that also don't complain, blame, justify and take as much responsibility for their life as possible.
Mm.
So, you know, like that's one of the huge things to growth and success.
Mm. One of the big things, having been in this isolated motorhome for, you know, however many days, whatever we figured it out to be.
50.
One of the things that became, well, 55 for me, you said. one of the things that became really blatantly obvious to me, and it was really cool to sit back and actually observe this happen for me, is the concept that when we've lived our top values and we feel like we're beginning to quote unquote fill that void or fulfill that void, what happens is our focus starts to shift to some of our lower priorities or some of our lower values, so that then we start to lift them up. And then once we've sort of felt like we've filled them to a capacity that we're comfortable with, our focus comes back to those higher priorities. And this was really cool for me, because I know that I've spent the last maybe 6-7 months just grinding like a motherfucker on my business, which my business for me encompasses my top three values. And so, I guess this felt somewhat forced, this transition felt somewhat forced, but being in the motorhome, I felt that I had my business somewhat taken away from me because of the circumstances around obviously isolation, phone reception, all those sorts of things. And so witnessing those like fourth, fifth, sixth values start to simmer up and noticing my focus shift to then fulfilling them. And then once I sort of, I guess, started to feel like I was happy with where I'd built them to, suddenly the focus came back to the top three. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Did that kind of happen? Do you feel like that happened for you out there?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, like I remember there was one point where I, to a degree, like one, my, why changes first, second values, high quality connections. Mm-hmm. And of course, being in the Australian outback with three other women, for the majority of the trip, there's only so much fucking connecting you can do with three women, especially when one's out walking the fucking highway. Mm-hmm. But you know, then when we'd get into the towns and things like that, sometimes there would be people we could connect with, sometimes there wouldn't be. But something that I did quite a few months ago was I wrote my rules around my values, and there are certain types of people I like to connect with, and there's certain types of people that I don't like to connect with. So I like connecting with people that I can learn from, that I can educate, teach, and coach. And there's nothing right or wrong with that, right? Because I've got friends of mine that love connecting with absolutely fucking anyone. Like anyone. And in my head, I just don't get it. But I don't have to get it because they're not my values.
Yeah.
But that's one of the biggest struggles that I found was generally they weren't, like, I did meet some fantastic people, but they weren't really like the type of people that I generally connect with when I'm in like Adelaide or Queensland or Perth or wherever I'm traveling. But then what I did learn, like the benefit of all of that, was it actually forced us to connect better because you're the most annoying best person I know.
Summed it up in one.
So, you know, like while I didn't go and connect with hundreds of other people, I felt like I had dealt with the challenges of connecting with hundreds of other people, but just in one person. So,
yeah.
Which is like a little bit of a backhanded compliment. But, you know, like I learned just as much from that because the communication between us had to get so much better.
Yeah.
Because even though like Sherry was out walking, for 50 days, 49 and a half, because there was one day when I decided to go for a stroll down the highway. But, you know, for 49 and a half days, I was actually, like, you are around the same fucking people 24/7.
Yeah.
Like, sure, you can go out for a walk down the road and stuff like that, but then that puts added pressure on the people in the van. It's like you're a baby again because, like, you can live with family, you can live with your partner, you can live with your kids and stuff like that, but you get to go to work. Like, you don't even have to like what you do, but you're not around them for, like, 24/7 unless, you know, you're a stay-at-home parent. But that's what it felt like. Like, I'm 34 years old and we're literally locked in a motorhome 24/7 for 49 and a half days until I went for a stroll. Yeah, and being around anyone for that long, it is a pressure cooker.
Absolutely. But
part of that, and I was talking to, I've talked to a few people while I've been here in Adelaide, but an old client of mine rang me up just because they've been following the journey and they were having some relationship issues. And I said to them that never be afraid of destroying because there's so many people that go, I just want things to go back to, you know, how it was, like in my relationship or, you know, with a friendship or anything like that. And that was something I learned very early on this trip, which was fucking destroy shit. Blow it up. Like, I was wicked at it, right? Like, you know, not mentioning names, but I've probably destroyed a couple of friendships over the last few years. But, like, I'm never afraid to destroy friendships because clearly, like, it was working to a point, but then the reason it's important to destroy it is because then there's the opportunity there to recreate it at a greater level. So to create something, you have to destroy something, but you can't destroy something you haven't previously created.
Yeah.
So that's why, like, being in that, what I label pressure cooker environment was so important because you can't get along with anyone for 50 days consistently. So it's just you know, ups and downs, like, you know, create a friendship, destroy a friendship,
yeah,
create it at a new level.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's one of the big takeaways that I personally got from it.
Yeah. Well, I think, like, adding on from that, I mean, you and I are a prime example of that. As I mentioned at the start, like, we go through phases where we don't talk for fucking months at a time because something's come up that's triggered us both and we've both kind of gone away and learnt the lesson separately. But every time we come back, because we've destroyed what was, what gets created when we reconnect is always like a completely different stage of evolution, you know?
Yeah.
And I think we experienced that on a small scale time and time and time again on the trip, where it was like, you know, we'd have moments where we challenge each other and butt heads, and then, you know, I guess sort of destroy that connection momentarily. And then when we did reconnect, it was like, yeah, a completely different experience.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, definitely, definitely. Yeah, because, you know, relationships, friendships, like, you know, working relationships, intimate relationships, you know, family, like even the relationship you got with the person that makes you coffee in the morning, right? Mm. Like, relationships just run our whole life. But if you don't know how to communicate, which is basically what I think all of us learn on this trip, and it wasn't how to communicate, it was just how to communicate better.
Mm.
And part of communicating better is communicating effectively, and how to communicate effectively if you don't understand the values of the other person. And, you know, like I know that there's three different stages, which Dr. John DeMartini talks about in relationships. You've got, oh, now I put myself on the spot, I have to remember. but you've got like stage one, stage two, stage three. So you've got like a careful relationship, which is where you feel like you're treading on eggshells.
Mm-hmm.
Or another way, the way I look at it is, well, I'm just in it for me.
Yep.
So, you know, and if you focus on intimate relationships, this is the R-rated version of this podcast. So like a guy will get into a relationship because they want to feel appreciated and they want sex.
Mm-hmm.
If there's any guys out there who disagree with that, drop a comment because I'd love to pick your brain, right? But then, and there's nothing right or wrong with that, mm-hmm. right? But then women, and I'm generalizing here because there's masculine and feminine energy and stuff like that, and I'm not going to go into all that, otherwise this will never end. But then you've also got, like, women want to feel protected and provided for. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not labeling that as good, bad, or financially. It's like emotionally, right? Yep. But that's okay as well because mm-hmm. that's what's important to them,
mm-hmm.
and that's cool. Just like the appreciation and sexual man is important to them.
Mm-hmm.
What was the fucking point to all this conversation?
First, second, and third stages of a relationship.
Yeah, so like a guy will get into it because that's what they get, and then a woman will enter a relationship because they feel protected and provided for.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. But then level two is DeMartini describes it as you can be careless,
mm-hmm.
where you literally care less about the other person. So you'll go around like stomping on eggshells,
mm-hmm.
right? Not treading on them. Or the way I look at it is that's where, like, I'll do stuff for you if you do stuff for me.
Mm.
So if you wash the dishes, I'll take the bins out.
Mm-hmm.
But then if you stop washing the dishes, I'm going to stop taking the bins out. Mm-hmm. So it's like tit for tat.
Yeah.
But the moment it goes tit for tat is the moment it goes back to level one.
Mm-hmm.
So then the third stage of a relationship is when you are caring, mm-hmm. which is how DeMartini explains it. And a caring relationship is you help the other person live their values, like support and challenge within their value system, regardless of their behavior.
Mm.
Now, all relationships will go through level one, two, three. You'll never, ever just stagnate at one level.
Mm-hmm.
From experience, the majority of relationships just go like level one, level two, level one, level two, level one, level two. And that's one of the big things about this trip, that for everyone to get along and communicate effectively, it was about learning what's most important to the other people and how do I help them live their values?
Yes.
Because then they feel appreciated, they feel loved, and when someone feels loved and appreciated, they are way more inclined to help you get what you want. And that's the basis of any relationship or any connection that anyone ever has. If you help someone get what they want, they're more inclined to help you get what you want.
Absolutely.
But there's so many people that go into a relationship going, oh, I want, I want, I want, and then they wonder why they never fucking get anything.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Because it's about helping others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you're helping others because it's helping you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's like this circle of being selfish and selfless at the exact same time. Which
ultimately break down to be the same thing. I think adding on from that, I think of that as like stage one is kind of your dependent. So you both, you need each other to get what you want, right? Stage two is where you become independent, and then it's a bit of a free-for-all. It's, you know, this person, I do what I want based on my value system. You do what you want based on your value system, and they don't kind of meet. And then the third one is interdependent. And that's where you sort of, both of your unique value systems are of service, mutually of service to one another. And I think, it comes down to caring enough to genuinely want to help someone out, to genuinely want to get to know them and what is most valuable to them, and then caring enough to actually communicate in a way that aligns with that.
Fuck yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Like the people over the last, I said this to someone yesterday actually, that over the last 6 months, I've had a couple of mentors that are phenomenal at just relationships with people. Absolutely fucking phenomenal. And they are both extremely, extremely successful business people. One at a national level, another at an international level. And for the last 6 months, I told one of them yesterday, but I've literally studied them. I've just watched them. I've been like a stalker of human behavior, right?
Like a private investigator.
Yeah, totally.
Bushes and shit.
Yeah, totally.
Tinted windows.
So, but because they are the people that I know that connect with everyone at a super high level.
Mm-hmm.
So, and throughout life, like I know, and you know, so do you, that everything's patterns. Mm-hmm. Like people have failure patterns,
mm-hmm.
but people, there's also patterns to success.
Mm-hmm.
So if you just want to learn something and you know someone with a really cool pattern, or you want to try and get one of their results, look at their behavior and just go, okay, well, if it's working for them, why not fucking do it for myself? So I studied these two people, and if there's one big thing that they both do, like there's a whole ton of little stuff, but the one big thing is they are genuinely interested in getting to know the other person. That's it.
Yeah.
Like they do not go into a relationship or a friendship or anything as I can get something out of this. They are just 100% interested in getting to know the person. So over the last 6 months, I've really focused on that. I've just, when I meet someone, find out what is truly most important to them. Mm-hmm. When you have a conversation with them, be present with them.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just look at them and think about what you're having for dinner or what you're doing yesterday, or, you know, the friends you're going to catch up with tomorrow. Just be present in the moment. And it's so fucking simple. Just be genuinely interested in the individual.
Mm.
And since I've implemented that, the depth of connections just grows exponentially. And the other thing that they do that I've started to do, and I did it yesterday with Rhodey, because I saw a... So, Rhodey, if you're listening to this, make sure you comment. that I saw he was in Sydney, but these two people I've studied, they just pick up the phone and they call you.
Yeah.
But, like, they don't call you to go, hey, you know that thing you were going to do, or it is simply just, how are you going? You know, and for me personally, and it's not for everyone, but like I like connection face to face. There are, like, I still connect through the digital world. Sometimes that's better because some people you don't want to see face to face. And, you know, like it's better just keeping them at a distance, which Facebook, Instagram is great for. But, you know, like what the way I prefer to connect is face to face, you know, spend the time, you know, because quality time with people, it's not about the quantity of time with people for me. It's about the quality of time. And for people that are closest to me, like I always have time for them. And that's what I've noticed with other people that, you know, they make time or they have time. And, you know, it's like, it's as simple as, you know, even sending someone a message in the morning, just saying, thinking of you, or, you know, good morning or anything like that. But it's that consistency and those check-ins just to see how they're going in their life. It's that genuine interest.
Yeah, well, it's cool. I mean, along the trip, like as you said, there were times we'd arrive in a town, and there'd be times where we were just overrun or overwhelmed by connection. And then there were times when there was just no one around, you know, and we were still isolated, even though we were in this township. And there's two aspects I want to touch on with this. Some of the coolest connections I gained along that trip, were completely unexpected, and it just came down to, I guess in a way it was because I felt like I was starved of social interaction. So when we arrived in these towns, I was like, I just want to talk to people. Mm-hmm. And like, I just wanted to genuinely fucking know about them. Right. And so, yeah, as a result, what was really cool was that I felt like, yeah, like almost like I said to you, as wanky as it sounds, as cliche as it sounds, almost like soul connections, where like you just, the depth that you meet and know these people after such a short time was like, wow. And even more than that, because I mean, as I've touched on, there were times out there where I definitely felt like my values are being challenged. But what I realized was that, whether you're living your values or not, or whether your values are being met, is perceptional. And I'm a big believer that the opportunity is always present moment to moment. It just comes down to whether your eyes are open wide enough to see it or not. And so what I was realizing as I was making these connections, was that like it would kind of just unravel itself as to how that connected to my values. Mm-hmm. Does that kind of make sense? So even though at like face value, these people were so disconnected from my value system, as in terms of how I would live it here in my day-to-day life. Mm-hmm. But when I actually kind of burrowed down and like genuinely got to know them, it was like, whoa, like this is deeply connected. It was just, I guess, being willing enough to explore my reality from moment to moment and see where the opportunities are.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? I'm not sure whether I conveyed that, how it is in my head or not, but
yeah. So my understanding of what you just said is it's almost like when you take someone through a grief process, right? Mm. That fuck, I've just opened up a can of worms. That there's laws that govern the universe.
Yes.
Right? And I think it might be the second law of thermodynamics for anyone that wants to check this out. It could be the first law, so let me know, because then on the next podcast I'll know. But energy can't be created or destroyed. It can only transform or transfer.
Mm.
So, yeah, like on what you were mentioning, that while it was so far out of our normal reality, right, like, it was our reality because we signed up to do the fucking trip.
Mm.
But there's like 7.3 billion people in the world. How many people do you think have spent 50 days in the Australian outback, like 7.3 billion people? Fuck all.
Mm.
Like, that is a super high performance.
Mm.
Like, I don't know how many people have done it, but it's not much.
Mm.
And I'm one of those, it's you niche, and yeah. I. Yeah. Yeah. You know, two of those crazy fuckers that did it. Potentially stupid as well. But yeah, like we're part of that like niche group. And yeah, like it is our reality, but it's so far-fetched from our normal reality that everything we perceive was missing in what we call our normal reality. And I know you can't see like the apostrophe fingers on the podcast, but I'm doing them. that our normal reality, that in our... How do you describe like our non-normal reality?
The other planet we're on for
The outback reality.
Yeah.
Everything we perceived was missing was actually there, but it just wasn't in
the form we were used to.
Yeah, exactly. So it energetically has to reappear, but it's our job, which is what you touched on, it's our job to find where it's reappeared.
Mm.
You know, because I think the brain, last time I researched it, we take in something like 4 billion pieces of information a second, but we can only consciously process 2,000.
Mm.
So there's a little bit of a gap there, right? So this is what you mentioned, it's about like opening our eyes and exploring the parts of our mind that go, okay, well, what am I missing and where has it reappeared?
Mm.
You know, and people do that with grief processes or relationship breakups or things like that. I can actually remember back in late 2015, it was after we, like, it's when we were friends.
One of the periods of time when we were friends.
Yeah, it was like the first time we were friends.
Oh, okay.
That, yeah, I'd gone through like a challenging time where I felt like I'd lost someone, and we actually just hung out at the park and you ran me through.
This, yeah.
Yeah, it was opposite Tea Tree Gully Hotel, actually, mm-hmm. Perseverance Road. But yeah, we sat there and you ran me through, and I can vividly remember one of the things, and this is going to sound corny as fuck, but one of the things that I missed was their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But then those eyes appeared in my dog.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that still blows my mind because nothing is ever lost. It only transforms.
Yeah.
And, you know, then...
Nothing's ever missing.
Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, it was... there was something else about, oh, well, it was having deep and meaningful conversations with that particular person. And then what I noticed was I was having a deep and meaningful conversation with you, which, and it's about, it's the quantity and how it makes us feel.
Mm.
So, you know, when you identify everything you perceive you lost, and then, and that was in that situation, that was in one person, when I identified everything I perceive I lost, and then where it appeared in its new form, now it could be in one person, it could be in many people or things, that you realize that nothing's ever lost. And that's how you dissolve grief.
And that's the thing, because they say that, as we've touched on, energy is never lost or destroyed, it just changes form. And so when we lose it in the one, we gain it in the many.
Yeah.
And when we lose it in the many, we gain it in the one. And I think that's a really important thing. So I was in, as you know, I was living in Bali for a short time with my then partner. And him and I went through a bit of a breakup and whatever else, and he actually unexpectedly got up and left Bali. And I remember and this was huge for me, because you know when there's like a gap in, you know something consciously, but you haven't yet done the work to actually, what's the word, experience it, right? Like, yep. You know it consciously, it's a fact consciously, but you haven't yet lived it, so to speak, experienced it. And so I remember when he left, I spent the first day just like pretty much locked in my room, fucking devastated, feeling like immense grief, just feeling completely lost, like what the fuck, you know? And so that was huge for me, knowing that he'd just got up and left and you know, left the country. And I still had a couple of weeks left in Bali, so I was like, well, fuck this. I'm not about to spend the rest of, you know, this like living in holiday kind of thing, feeling like rat shit. So what can I do? What? How can I change my perception here? How can I find the gold in this situation? So what I did was I wrote down a list of every single thing that I felt like I'd lost when he got up and left. And the really fucking amazing thing was, down to the literal moment when I watched him drive down the road, was when it appeared in another form. And it was really beautiful, because one of the outcomes I wanted from that trip was to really connect with a lot of people in Bali and to connect with people from all different walks of life. And so I was actually getting exactly what I'd asked for, because the moment he left, I then gained connections with, you know, I met this beautiful man from Amsterdam, spent heaps of time with him, connected with, you know, a girl from Perth, like, you know, it all just showed up immediately. And the second I saw it, it was like the evolution of energy. You can't help but be grateful.
Yeah.
You know, it's
totally
crazy shit. never fails to blow my mind.
Yeah. Once you've gone through that process, yeah, because, like, evolution is all about improvement as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the other side of the grief process that we haven't talked about is to truly balance the mind, because, like, that's the only thing there is, right? It's how we perceive experiences. So when you perceive you've lost something, you want to identify what you perceive you lost, and then where has it reappeared in the new form, and then you want to do the benefits of the new form and the disadvantages of the old form, because evolution is all about life.
Yeah.
Growth. Yeah. Yeah. Throughout life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. But no, it's super, super cool. Mm. But yeah, once you realize that, then it's almost like whenever you're going through those emotional things, you know that you've got the power to change it. So then why are you hanging on to it?
Yeah, absolutely. But it's because it's serving your value system in some way to hang on to it. That was one really powerful thing that I realized on the trip. Because I remember having a conversation with someone that I actually met on the trip. This is via Messenger. And he'd said to me, like, you need to, because things were rocky in the motorhome, to say the least. And
it changes from hour to hour.
And he had said to me, he's like, you need to go and have a conversation with this person and you need to get things sorted because, like, you can't be living in close quarters with someone and, you know, things be this turbulent. And I felt this immense resistance to actually go and, like, speak to this person. And I kind of checked in and was like, what is it that has me resist this to the depth that I am right now? And what it came down to was, at this point in the trip, I was feeling like my values were being severely challenged around, like, the business in particular. And we just got to a place where we had decent phone reception. And so what I realized was that if I took the time to bridge the gap with this person and reconnect with them, it would have been time consuming. And in that moment, all I wanted to do was live my value as business, right? It's not quite business, that's not quite the value, but I wanted to live the expression of my values through my business. And so the reason why I didn't actually reach out and reconnect was because I knew that doing so would actually take me away from my business. So it was of greater service to my values and my self-expression to remain in a sticky situation in terms of a connection, because it allowed me the isolation to focus on my business without distraction. And that was huge for me, because I was like, wow, like, I'm choosing to stay in the drama right now because it's of greater value to stay in it than to solve it.
Yeah.
That was huge for me. And I remember actually saying to him, like, it actually is of more benefit to me right now to not bridge the gap than it is to bridge the gap. And I explained it to him and he was like, holy fuck. Like, I did not think of it that way.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No,
it's powerful.
Yeah. There were definitely times throughout the trip for me where, like, being until the last week the only male there, like, males love space.
Yeah.
And we've all got a man cave and, you know, some of us actually create rooms that we call man caves. some of us, it's like sitting on the couch, whatever. But, yeah, there was definite times and I know that, like, it's super important for me that if I feel like I'm always going out serving others, I will get to the point where I go, fuck off, and I'll push everything away. And I'll disconnect from everything, because then I actually get to focus on what's truly most important to me, which is, what you were saying, you know, then you get to go and live your values, you get to go and, you know, create content or just do whatever it is what's most important to you. But, yeah, that was super cool that I go through, and everyone I know goes through the exact same thing. You know, it's life's almost like this constant battle of, you know, pushing away, coming in close, pushing away, coming in close. And I was listening to Dee Martini and he was talking about intimate relationships and sex. And he was saying sex is the perfect example of a relationship. It's like, get away from me, come close. Get away from me, come close. Get away from me, come close. And, but yeah, like, all relationships go through that. It's that push, pull, push, pull, push, pull. Mm. But there's so many people that I found, like, I'm just thinking about conversations I've had with clients over the last, like, couple of years. There's so many people that, like, want to try and avoid that push-pull.
Mm.
And they say, oh, I don't want the games in a relationship. But what they don't understand is it's not just relationships. Life is a game.
Mm.
All of life is a game. The problem is most people don't understand the fucking rules.
Mm.
It's like, you know, being thrown in a sport. It'd be like, have you watched, like, curling in the Olympics? Is it curling where they throw the fucking massive weight down the ice thing and they, like, scrub the ice and shit?
Oh, yeah, I've never understood that.
Yeah. Not like, I don't fucking understand it, right? But that's like me getting put in the Australian curling team and going, okay, there's the Olympics, go and do it. And I'm like, I don't understand the fucking rules. Right? Like, do I scrub it more and it goes further, or do I scrub it less? Like, how the fuck does this game work? So when it comes to relationships and life, it's not about not having games. Learn to understand the fucking rules of the game.
Yeah.
Because once you understand human behavior and, you know, how masculine and feminine energy more so communicate, but like everything fucking changes. Everything. Because then you understand yourself, which is the most important part.
Yeah.
But then you can learn to understand other people because you only see in others what you see in yourself.
Absolutely. Yeah. One thing, actually, you've just sparked what I wanted to say earlier. So you mentioned about how, and again, this is to generalize, but men, when they enter a relationship, what they're looking for is appreciation and sex.
Yeah.
Whereas women are looking for security and protection.
Yeah.
And I know, being a female myself, surprise, no. being a female.
Just noticed.
I find myself often in conversations with friends or, you know, whatever, clients who feel that they've been used by a male because, you know, they've met this dude and he's just wanted one thing, right? He's just wanted sex. And what I want to get across, and this was a fucking game changer for me when I figured this out, what I want to get across is that men are much more physical in their expression. Women are much more emotional and, I guess, no, energetic's probably not quite the right word, but they're much more emotional in their expression. So women connect through emotion, men connect more so through physicality.
Yeah.
And so what men get from sex is the same thing that women get through having their man listen.
Yeah.
And that was fucking huge for me because, you know, it's like that whole thing of, for women, like expressing themselves emotionally to someone is when they open up and they allow themselves to be vulnerable and they come back to themselves. They come back to the heart, right? They come back within. Men, on the flip side, it's when they can physically express their love or connection to someone that's when they can let down those walls, let down that guard.
Yeah.
You know, and open up and come back to themselves. And, you know, I hear it all the time where women feel like they're not being emotionally supported. So the first thing they do, and this is that tit for tat kind of thing, the first thing they do is go, well, fuck you, you're not getting any sex now. And so what happens is, I guess their perspective is that, well, the man will now start to listen because he's having sex taken away. So he'll now start to listen and put in more effort in order to earn that.
How does that work for them?
But what it actually does is the opposite. It builds the wall even higher because now the male is not having his emotional needs met. And yeah, as I said, that was a fucking game changer for me when I realized it. And neither is right or wrong. I think women tend to go, well, men just want one thing and all they do is think with their dicks, and which is not untrue. But, you know,
we have those moments.
It's not a bad thing, though. Like, it's just two different forms of expression for the same end goal. And that is, like, open heart connection.
Yeah, absolutely. there's two things I just want to touch on that are amazing points that you brought up. And hopefully I remember both of them. The first thing, and this was a game changer for me. This is purely for all the men that are going to listen to this podcast, right? When women say listen, men, it's not listen. It's not like hear the words and repeat them back, because listen doesn't actually mean listen. Listen, what listen actually means is be present, right? Yeah. So, and when it's be present, it's like keep eye contact, like what I'm doing to you right now. Right?
You're like staring into my soul right now.
Yeah, but it's like be present. Don't just listen. Don't listen to the words and be able to, you know, hit replay on them, because that's just going to get you in way more shit, right? Because women have got this amazing fucking ability that no guy's got, that they know when we tune in and out.
Yes, absolutely.
And they remember it. Mm-hmm. And we don't even know that they're doing it. So don't listen, be present. That's the tip for every male listening to this. Mm-hmm. And the other thing was something that you touched on was how men and women express, I guess, love, right? Mm-hmm. Where sex to a man is how we receive love, sex to a woman is how they show love. Mm-hmm. So it's up to both people to serve each other, right? Because, like, it's a male's responsibility to make the female feel emotionally protected and provided for and secure and stuff like that. And then when that happens, intimacy opens up.
Mm-hmm.
But then what you touched on was, you know, but then if the man's not doing his job, then the woman will shut down,
mm-hmm.
trying to think that that'll get the man to put more effort in, mm-hmm. but like you mentioned, it does the exact opposite. So yeah, it's both about, you know, creating that heart connection and to feel loved and appreciated, because like everybody on the planet just wants to feel loved and appreciated, and there's no right or wrong way. It's just we, and this is what you said, it's just about how we express it differently. But expressing it differently doesn't make it right or wrong.
Absolutely.
It's just totally different.
Yeah, it's just the same end goal. Men need physicality in order to open up emotionally. Women need emotional connection in order to open up physically.
Yeah. And that's definitely, like, that's a pattern I went through probably 10 years ago in a relationship where, at the time, my partner felt like she was, like, unsupported and I wasn't there for her. But then I was complaining there was no intimacy, but I hadn't started personal development and I didn't understand any of this stuff. So then at that time, I'm like, fuck it, it's all their fault.
Yeah.
You know, until you sort of have a look in the mirror and go, fuck. Like, I get it.
It's all you.
I get it. Yeah. And, you know, once you realize that, or once I realized I created that, any resentment just dissolves immediately. Because once you understand that you created the problem, you can't be pissed off.
Yeah.
And I think that's the moment, like, you know, people talk about gratitude and stuff like that. But when you would relive the experience or you know, when you'd see one of your loved ones go through it or something like that, that's true gratitude. True gratitude isn't like, oh, I'm grateful for it, but I would change it if I could. No, that's not gratitude.
That's pseudo-gratitude.
Yeah, yeah. So true gratitude is when you would relive it, you'd go through it, you'd watch someone you love go through it. And true gratitude isn't an emotion. It's a state of being. Yeah. Same as inspiration. Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
That's some pretty epic shit.
I'm just soaking that in.
Yeah.
Like I would a cattle truck as it drives past.
Yeah, I don't necessarily miss those.
Fuck no.
What I do miss is probably the sunsets.
Yes.
Yeah.
I, strangely enough, really, well, I mean, I've touched on this. I've told you my reasoning, but I miss the sounds of road trains breaking. Yeah.
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 Yeah, it's good fun.
So can I just say, like, slightly off topic, well, not really, but sort of, since getting back in my car, that thing is so fucking zippy after driving a motorhome. I'm like, woo! Drifting the streets and shit.
Yeah, I borrowed a friend's car yesterday. I was driving through the hills. I was like going so fast.
You're going like 60, but you're like, whoa.
Yeah, I feel like even at 70 at one point, like within 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Like, not like the motorhome where it takes 3 days.
Yeah, no, there's been times like, you know, my street's obviously a long windy street. And I was like driving down that. I'm like, man, I'm fucking speeding so fast. And then I looked, I'm like, oh, I'm going like 50. But because it's so low to the ground and zippy, I was like, whoop.
Yeah. 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 No, I get it completely. Yeah. Completely. It's like having go-karts. It's like I'm in Super Mario.
I feel like I'm like a rally car driver. Yes. Like I should have been in the fucking V8 supercars in Darwin because. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so what's the transition back to normal life been like for you?
Well, that's actually...
about this just before.
Yeah, that's actually a really tough question for me to answer because a week before the... Well, it's probably more than a week. It's probably pushing 12 months now. But a week before the trip started out to Alice Springs, so that would have been, I think I left Adelaide on the 1st of May. Oh, no, it was the 30th of April or something like that. I've moved states as well, as you know. So I drove from, Adelaide to Queensland, but I went through Victoria to see some friends. And then went to the Sunshine Coast. So life after the trip, like I got back to Adelaide, and I touched on this, before with you, that it's more coming back to Adelaide. Everything has a blessing and a curse, right? And I've thoroughly enjoyed coming back to Adelaide because this is where I've lived for, you know, my whole life. I was born and raised here. I've got so many connections, that I love catching up with. But, you know, then on Sunday I fly out. So, you know, it's both pain and pleasure that, you know, I get to reconnect with all these amazing people that, you know, have meant so much to me. And one of the things that I've noticed after this trip was, like, how well I do connect with people and how well I do maintain those relationships. Because, like, I get back to Adelaide and, like, my phone just goes off and it's like, how long are you in Adelaide for? Like, I'd love to catch up. Let's get, you know, a dinner together. Let's do this. Let's do that. And, you know, I'm almost, like, strung out of, like, fuck, how do I get all these people? I just need to throw one mad party. Everyone calm me, hang out with party. I'm not going to drink any alcohol. I drank way too much.
Oh, my God. Yeah, but we, like, both became alcoholics.
Yeah, yeah, but, like, I think our version of, like, too much alcohol is, like, three beers,
oh, no.
You know? So, oh, my God, like, I'm so fucked up. How many drinks you had? Two? Like, because we don't drink, right? And, you know, then you've got, like, the, yeah, cattle workers and stuff, and they're like, oh, I drink, like, a carton.
Yeah.
I'm like, I would die.
Yeah.
I got to actually die. But there's a little tangent for you. Yeah, so coming back to Adelaide, the curse of it is, you know, like, I left the end of April and my life has just been go, 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 go. Like, it's been insane, you know. Drive to Queensland, have a birthday, you know, or, like, go to the Sunshine Coast, then come back to Brisbane, then fly out to Alice Springs, spend 50 days in Alice Springs, then have 5 days in Darwin, then drive back to Adelaide. And now I'm here and I'm, like, sick, but I'm still not home. So, you know, I've still got, I don't even know what fucking day it is. You know, Thursday, I think. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, I've still got 3 days. And I haven't even unpacked my boxes in Queensland. So, you know, and then there's a challenge of moving states, of going, there's a whole heap of people I know in Queensland, but where I'm living, I know three.
Yeah.
So, you know, that adds another element. Like, it's super exciting to move states and, yeah, just be out there and take on a new adventure. But at the same time, it's fucking scary.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, because, like, you don't know anyone. Your comfort zone, it's like you just put dynamite under your comfort zone, blow it up and go, all right, now I'm going to go find the fucker. Yeah, which, like, I know you get with all the travelling and stuff you do. So, you know, one of my goals while I'm here is I'm trying to convince all my friends to move to Queensland. you know, which I think is slowly working. So, but, like, another part of it as well is, like, I'm not going to lie, I'm looking forward to warm weather. Like,
yeah,
I think the time in Darwin sort of made me, like, it's fucking cold. Like, fucking cold.
Well, you remember Cara that we met?
Yeah.
She messaged me this morning, actually, and because she's planning on making an SA trip at some stage. And I was like, yeah, like, you know, come down, because she's basically said she's at the point where she's almost ready to kind of leave the Northern Territory and decide on her next travels. So she's a full-time traveller for the listener's sake. And, yeah, she's like, where to next? I'm like, yeah, girl, like, come down to SA. She's like, it's too fucking cold. She's like, I will, but not yet. So, yeah.
Stay north of Alice Springs.
Yeah, so I'm like, okay, well, yeah, maybe I'll just come up there.
Yeah.
For a while until it warms up here, because I'm struggling too with the cold.
Yeah.
Big time.
It's bullshit. And, you know, like, before I left, I actually, like, gave away and sold a whole heap of, like, my warm jackets and stuff. Like, I had some fucking sick jackets. Like, I like having nice clothes and shoes. You know, I shouldn't admit that, but I've got a few shoes. I'm not more than probably any guy should. but when I packed for the trip, I'm like, oh, Alice Springs, that's going to be warm. Darwin, that's going to be warmer. Like, even a cold day in Darwin, it's still like 25. It's just pissing down with rain. But yeah, so all the clothes I packed was, you know, as you know, like, we just took, like, a duffel bag. I bought another duffel bag because mine fell apart when I was walking the Stuart Highway. But you took, like, all my clothes are summer clothes, right?
Yeah.
So, like, I get back here and I've got, like, one thin jumper, one sports jacket, and a fucking pair of jeans and track pants. And shorts and thongs. Like, yeah. So I should have booked a flight for today. Nah, it's But yeah, you know, that's a very long-winded answer to your question about how's life been after the trip. Yeah, quite surreal, you know, and we touched on this before that just because it was so far out of normal life and, you know, like I mentioned, that out of the population, there would only be literally a handful of people that have done that type of adventure. Like there might be a few hundred or even like 1,000 or something like that. But, you know, even if you look at just the population of Australia, you know, we're one of very few that have taken on such an epic adventure. And it was our reality. Like, because we fucking did it. We've got the stories, we've got the scars. I've got the scars on the bottom of my feet. but it was so far out of our normal reality, you know, and I think, like, it was something someone said to me yesterday, actually, that, like, it's people that do shit that we've done, that's high performance shit. Like, that's not low performance. Because I don't know other people that have done that. You know, and I think anyone that came to me and said, hey, like, I'm thinking about doing this, I'd be like, are you fucking sure? Like, it's fucking testing. Like, make sure you've got your head screwed on. But, yeah, it's this surreal, experience that we've just completed. Yeah, and the other thing I was just going to touch on quickly was, it's this, it's gone. What was it? There was the one about high performance teams, individuals. It's completely gone.
That's all right. I think what's been most interesting for me is how do I want to word it? It's been reassessing how I want my day-to-day life to look. For me, like, I deeply believe in my life's been built around meeting my edges in as many different aspects of life as possible. So I really believe in going out and experiencing something so far beyond your current capacity that it completely stretches you in all aspects. And you go through the pain, you go through the challenge, you go through the struggle of that, and then you come back to your day-to-day life and you integrate that experience, right? And so for me, actually, it's funnily enough, went back and had my first PT session today with my regular PT. And we were chatting about the whole experience, and he's like, Bree, I'm not going to lie, when you told me what you're doing, I was like, why the fuck would you do that? And I said to him, I was like, well, because honestly, I love this shit. Like, I love pushing the extremes, because what you gain from that is you come back with a new awareness, because your reality has just been stretched beyond its normal capacity. And you don't have a choice but to reintegrate and see your day-to-day reality completely different because you've had an experience that stressed you so much. And so from that, it's made me go, okay, well, for starters, I've got super fucking clear on my values now to a greater extent than before, because I've gone, okay, well, what did not work out there and how do I now want it to look coming back? And then also getting clearer on just different aspects of how I want to operate as a business owner, as a human being, in relationships, as a athlete, as a coach for athletes and entertainers, like all aspects. As I explained to Matt, my PT this morning, I call it like you've got to shake yourself up in order to lay a stronger foundation so that less shakes you up in the future. Like you have to actually choose to go out and fucking shake yourself up. Like, you know, shake yourself awake, basically.
Yeah.
So that's what it kind of was for me. It was coming back and reassessing everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we just stepped foot in like a Nutribullet.
It felt like a fucking different planet out there.
Yeah, it looked like a different planet at different times. Actually. That's what I was going to say before, that something that I know a lot of high achievers go through, and like I go through this, is when you hang out with people that just do epic shit becomes normal.
Yes.
Like, so then other people because I was talking to this random person yesterday, because that's what you do when you spend 50 days in the outback and you've been around the same four fucking people forever, that you come back and you'll talk to anyone. You're like, you can be my friend. You can be my friend. Just everyone's my friend. Until you go, no, I don't like any of you, and then push them all away.
Yeah.
But, you know, like you say, oh, yeah, like I've just had the most unreal, you know, 2 months of just a charity walk from Alice Springs to Darwin, and people are like, why the fuck do you do that?
Yeah.
And you're like, what do you mean? Like, why do I do it? Why don't you do it? You know, so epic becomes normal. And then it's this, and this is a huge high achiever pattern, we're always looking forward. We're like, okay, what's next? What's next? What's next? Like, you know, is the next thing someone's going to walk around the fucking world and I'm going to put my hand up and go, fuck yeah, I'm in. Like, I doubt it. But, you know, there's a potential there as well. But, yeah, high achievers spend so much time looking forward, and something that is super important that a lot of people have to do is stop. Just stop.
Yes.
And go, if you're going to compare yourself to people ahead of you, make sure you compare yourself to people behind you.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, you will always feel like a piece of shit.
Absolutely.
So that is like one of the biggest fucking secrets of being a high achiever. And like, just because you become, I don't want to use the word happy, right? But you become present in the moment. And then you can see how good your life is. Because if you're always chasing like a carrot, you're never going to get there. You know, you actually have to stop and just go, you know, take that moment, take a few moments and go, fuck. Like, we just assisted a walk that went from, you know, Alice Springs to Darwin. I just spent, you know, so much time in the outback. You know, I've just spent, you know, like, you know, and we joke about it and have a laugh and there's heaps of stories and stuff like that. But if you actually stop and get serious for a second, you go, we just spent 50 fucking days, or 55 for you, but, you know, 50-odd days with the same people in a fucking motorhome in remote locations, that's epic shit. Like, that's fucking unreal. Yeah, so it's important to stop and realise that. Otherwise, you just get caught in that thing of, yep, cool, done that, what's next? Yep, cool, done that, what's next? And you live your whole life chasing fucking rainbow, and you never get there.
I think, and I feel like this is kind of relevant, you said there, you know, to stop. I had a big aha moment last night, and this fucking floored me. So, for me, like, I mean, you know, like, I run two businesses, the podcast, plus my own training and whatever else. And my whole outlook on life is that the purpose of life is to optimize. So essentially the purpose of life is to evolve, right? And to continuously like expand your capacity and then like stretch yourself outside of that capacity and then bring it back into a place where you're comfortable and then reorder it so that you can optimize and re-expand, right? And so one of the things that's come up for me, and this actually on the trip back, I was sitting with Cara, the bartender, and she said to me, like, babe, you need a fucking holiday from your holiday. Like, you look like rat shit. And I've had so many people since getting back hit me up and be like, so what's your plan? Like, are you going to chill out for a couple of weeks? Because you've had a fucking massive couple of months. And for me, it hasn't been that at all. It's been literally like, as much as in my head, the trip wasn't a holiday, it was work. I didn't go on the holiday as a holiday. I went in intending it to be work, promotional thing and to study high performance teams, blah, 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 blah. But coming back, I was like, fuck, I really do need a rest, but there's no time. And so like I'm working 10 times harder now being back in my day-to-day life than I was out on the trip. Right. And, what shook me is that I'm like, well, fuck, if I'm running two businesses and the podcast and everything else, they're only going to expand. So my workload's only going to get bigger. So I've been asking myself, is this how I want to live my life? Because it means no break, right? It means that the rest of my life is going to be an ongoing, never-ending to-do list. And I often have the conversation with people about when you're on, you're on. When you're off, you're off. And, you know, like, and allowing yourself that, you know, 3 days or that week or whatever away from work. And I don't feel like the business is at a place where I can do that. And I don't enjoy taking time away. And so I did a bit of a process around my expression of the concepts was on and off versus, what was it? Versus always on. And what was really fucking cool for me was when I looked at the two different polarities, what I realized is that you can either do it, you're on and then you're off for a period of time and then you're back on, or you can choose to live that concept in the day-to-day. So rather than say 6 months on and a week off, it's like 2 hours on, 15 minutes off.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So it's living that in a it's the same, like they break down to be exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
And so what's really fucking smacked me in the face is self-care during the fucking day. You know, it's not I'm going away for a weekend and I'm just going to chill the fuck out. Because honestly, when I'm holidaying, guess where my brain is? Still on everything back home. I'm figuring out how that holiday can be of service to the mission.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like the con. Like, for me, everything I do serves a purpose, you know. Like, as wanky as it sounds, it's all meaningful. It's all meaningful to me. It's all on mission. So it doesn't make sense to me to go, okay, well, I'm just going to switch off my mission. I'm just going to switch off my purpose for 2 days while I holiday. Because the whole time I'm on that holiday, I'm going, okay, well, how can I link this back into the mission? So, yeah, the slap across the face, I don't know whether this is making sense or whether I'm rambling, but the slap across the face has been holiday in the day-to-day. Like, live it ongoing rather than off on, because then you're kind of always on, but you're also always off.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I get what you're saying, because there are so many people that work in a job that they're unfulfilled and they want a holiday, but the reason they want the holiday is just because they're trying to escape their reality, right?
Yes.
Where instead you get clear on your values and mission, your purpose in life, and you can set your life up. And this is the position that you and I are both in after having so much time away, that you can set your life up however the fuck you want.
Mm.
You know, and when you're clear and when you've got clarity around who you are, what you want, and where you're going, you can go, oh, it's Thursday, no worries, let's do a podcast, then we'll go grab a coffee.
Yeah.
Then I'll do some work for a couple of hours, and then tonight I'm doing fuck all.
Yes, yeah,
you know, exactly. So instead of going, and it took me years to figure this out, instead of going, all right, well, if I don't create my schedule, someone else will create my schedule for me. And there's so many people that are in that, I don't want to say rut, or they're trapped or whatever, because some people love it, right? But high performance people and people that want results and, you know, that have that clarity, they don't want to run to other people's schedules. They want to go and create their own schedule. And, you know, what you mentioned was for you to go on a holiday wouldn't be a fucking holiday anyway, because you'd be on your holiday working in business.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, and it's like other, you know, business owners that I know, they go on holiday so they can work.
Yeah.
It's just a different location.
Yeah.
Right? But because you're not trying to escape.
Yeah.
You know, like I'll use the walk as an example, but we did that because we worked, we created content, we created networks and connections, all while experiencing another part of Australia.
Mm. Yeah. Well, the big wake-up call for me, and you and I had this discussion, the big wake-up call for me was when we went to Litchfield National Park.
Yeah.
And, like, it was incredible, people. Like, for the listeners, oh, man, like, that was the wake-up call for me to how much I have kind of lost connection to my love of just fucking exploring nature. So we hiked out in, like, our thongs. Like, we had beers. We had fucking, like, snacks. We hiked out maybe 15 minutes.
Yeah.
For a portion of that, we were in fucking barefoot, went out, went swimming in this amazing waterfall, whatever else. I got leached. You know, there's a challenge in the love, right? And
no one saved her.
No one saved her. I was like, someone get it off. And everyone just looked at me. Actually, really cool little detour here. Paddy Watts, I mentioned it to him. And he completely fucking flipped my perspective on it. Because, so, guy, like, for the listeners, I traveled Borneo maybe 4 years ago and I got leached fucking constantly. And I was terrified of the things because they look disgusting. And like, they don't hurt or anything. They just look fucking gross. So that was my whole like perception on them as to why I didn't like them. And it was really cool because I mentioned this to Patty, right? So when I got this leech in Litchfield, I was like, get it off, get it off, get it off. Mentioned it to Patty, and Patty's like, you know, leeches have like wicked medicinal use. And so, like, I believe everything happens symbolically in life. So I'd stepped away from that and been like, why was it me that got fucking leeched? Like, does it mean that it's a wake-up call for something bad? Like, is it telling me that there's something I'm not seeing which is quote-unquote bad? And when Patty just flips it on me and goes, you know, like the medicinal use of leeches, like their high value. I was like, fuck, I got leeched because like it was a like free fucking detox, right? So I was stoked. I was like, fuck, I shouldn't have, like, because Chris got it off, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, fuck, I should have just left it on there and let it do its thing. So now I'm spewing that I fucking rushed to get this thing off. Yeah, I should have like kept it in a little jar and just, you know, at random, just chuck it on my neck or something at random intervals. But yeah, anyway, that was the biggest detour ever. So yeah, got this leech, whatever else, hiked back barefoot, went and saw like the termite mounds, you know, went and saw all these amazing lookouts and whatever else. And I remember after that day going like, this is what lights me up. Like, this is what makes me feel the most alive. And I hadn't really experienced that to the same extent since my Borneo trip. And I remember feeling this sense of grief of like, I can't live this in my business because my business requires me to be grinding basically. And don't get me wrong, I love my business, so it's not grinding, but it kind of is, you know. And I was like, fuck, like, because I run two businesses and the podcast and everything else, and I've got staff and that, I can't just fuck off and go to a national park for however long. But the fucking funny thing that I realized last night is I did fuck off to a national park for a day where I had no phone reception and no one could contact me. And no one fucking died. Like, the business did not fold. Like, the podcast didn't fold. Like, no one died. So I've made up this stupid story in my head that I can't have high performing businesses and still be able to go out and do fun shit like that and just disconnect for a day or whatever and go exploring, which that's all it is. It's a fucking story because I did it. Like, it's already happened, you know? And so it literally just comes down to choosing to do it, choosing to create the set of circumstances where I can do it. That's it. Like, fuck off the story. That's it. It's already my reality. So that, like,
yeah.
So you'll see a lot more nomadic Brie jumping off waterfalls and shit.
Cool.
In the future. Yibba.
Yeah, there was something you mentioned there that was bang on, which was the ability to step away. And like, now might be a really cool time for me to, I've touched on it a couple of times, like when I walked off, right? That in that moment, like, I won't go into all the detail, but leading up to it, it was like this, like I felt I was the glue that was holding everything together because, you know, we were pretty disconnected in the motorhome this particular day. And I keep thinking about this made up law that Demartini made up, which was the law of lesser pissers, which was if you've got the opportunity to piss other people off or piss yourself off, always piss off other people because then, like, you can sleep at night. And my understanding of what he's referring to is, like, don't put other people before yourself. And that's what was happening for me this particular day. And, like, you know, it'd been a little bit of a lead up. That I had, you know, I was trying to keep everyone else happy. And whenever we try to keep everyone else happy, we end up pissing ourselves off. So I packed all my shit and I knew we were like 30 Ks out from the next town, Pine Creek. And I knew there was a mate driving up that night so I could get a lift. And like, I'd organize, I had water and I organized a lift the next day and all this stuff. So it was like planned out or in my head. And anyway, so like I got out and I started walking cause I thought, I feel like there should be a disclaimer here, right? That, whenever you're emotional, you don't make intelligent decisions, but intelligent decisions are when you're not emotional. This was my emotional decision, but before I'd sort of made intelligent decisions leading up to the emotional decision. So anyway, I packed all my shit, chucked over my shoulder. I'm like, fuck it. I'm walking out. Right, so I started walking down the highway. The emotional decision was I started to do it in thongs, which was fucking stupid. So anyone that does want to walk, don't do it in thongs.
At least they were, what do they call them? Surfer Joes, so they're comfy thongs.
Yeah, when they're worn in. Surfer Joes do have a range of about 5 kilometres before your feet start blistering. But, I started to walk off. But the reason I started to walk off was simply because I felt like I was the glue holding everything together. And it was that fact of going, well, you know what? Like, if I remove myself, then other people have to step up and start doing stuff, which brings the team back together. Mm-hmm. Now, cool, in the moment, like, it doesn't sort of make much sense. But the point you brought up when you were talking about, you know, that day out at Litchfield, which is the same point, which is, you know, you can actually walk off and shit survives.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't be afraid to walk off.
Mm.
You know, or leave, or, you know, do what you really want to do. Like, there was a whole bunch of other factors involved, you know, that I wanted to set myself a challenge because I didn't feel like I had one. I knew I could walk, you know, 30Ks and stuff like that. I'd done the math. Like, I knew I was going to be getting in at, like, 10 o'clock at night. But, yeah, like, it just goes to show that, you know, whether it's in business, whether it's in relationships, if something's not serving you, and, you know, this, it's probably a part of, you know, that creation and destruction as well, don't be afraid to destroy.
Mm-hmm.
The other side of that I'll touch on is, because it wasn't the smartest move, right, is it's not what you say, and it's not even what you do in life. It's how you respond.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the actions, like, because especially in that pressure cooker and just in life, everyone has fucking meltdowns. Like, no one has their shit together 24/7. And if you meet someone that says they have their shit together for 24/7, just watch them.
Yeah, they're lying.
Because they fucking won't, because they're hiding shit. Mm. It's like when, you know, when you meet someone in a relationship, you want to show all the good stuff first, right? Because if you just show all the bad shit, you're going to be single forever, right? So humans have got a tendency that we'll show the good stuff and we'll then slowly start showing the bad stuff, right? And, you know, that's when someone comes in a relationship and goes, you're this completely different person. And it's like, no, you've just seen the other side of me now, yes. Right? Like, I'm still a good person, but I'm only a good person because I'm also a shit person, right?
Yep.
So everyone has both sides. But so part of that learning was, you know, it's not what we say, it's not even what we do, it's how we respond to our behaviour.
Yeah.
Which for me was, all right, I've had my fucking meltdown moment, now it's time to step back up.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
it's how we respond, not always how we act.
Yeah, definitely.
It's definitely how we act. But, you know, no one ever gets it right. But how do you come back?
Yeah.
You know, because you, like, and we've done, you know, martial arts and stuff like that. It's not about how many times you get hit or knocked down or shit like that. How do you respond when you get fucking hit?
Mm.
Like, do you fall down and stay down? Or do you fall down and go, fuck it, I got more fight in me.
Mm.
And, you know, you get back up.
Yeah.
So that is one of the biggest learnings from, you know, whether you want to walk away from something, cool, don't be afraid to walk away.
Mm.
But at the same time, if you walk away and you go, yeah, that was maybe a little bit silly, how do you respond?
Mm. Definitely.
Yeah, that was my sort of learning.
Boom. From that. I'm very aware of time. This has been an hour 22.
Fuck, this is like the longest conversation we've ever had, like in 4 years.
Consistently. I probably disagree. Should we cap it off there? And we'll just do a round two whenever we end up in the same state. Whenever we're still on speaking terms and end up in the same state. Well,
you know, hey, I appreciate
you. Do we high five?
Yeah.
That was a fucking crisp high five too. That was
good. Let's end it now.
Now, I did make a boo-boo and forget to request Christian's social media links during the podcast. So just presenting them for you now. And as always, in the podcast description, you can find Quality Relationships on Facebook at facebook.com/qualityrelationship and also on Instagram at instagram.com/quality_relationships. Now, as always, if you want to follow along with my stuff, we're in the final stages of selling out the Live Free Academy's very first Foundation Stones event coming up on July 12th 13th and 14th. So if you want to get your tickets or tee up a payment plan, please do so at www.thelivefreeacademy.com.au, on Facebook and Instagram, also at The Live Free Academy. Otherwise, you can hit us up directly at hello@thelivefreeacademy.com.au. If you want to follow along with my mindset-based performance coaching and consulting, check out The Live Free Movement on Facebook and Instagram. The podcast, socials, of course, The Live Free Experience on Instagram. And finally, if you want to follow along with my personal journey, you can do so on Facebook at facebook.com/Brianna Boley Coach and on Instagram at instagram.com/Brianna Boley. That's spelled BRIANABOWLEY. And until next time, what else is possible?